I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
Episode 382 of Top Rope Nation. It is a Sunday morning. I've got my Nespresso nice and hot in my Top Rope Nation mug to talk a little pro wrestling with my guy, Jesse Velasquez. Jesse, how you doing this morning?
Life is good. Heavily caffeinated and sun is slightly sunburnt, unfortunately. We had a lot of fun yesterday. We were only out for 45 minutes in the sun, I think. So. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, I mean, tis the season. It's May, so very, very excited that the calendar is turned. I know you've been crazy full with lots of things as well.
Oh, yes. It has been a crazy time. But, you know, I got to say, things are going pretty well. I in the sports world, I'm pretty happy with my teams right now. Jesse, we always touch base on our sports fandom at the top of the show. Chicago Cubs dominating right now. Best offense in baseball. Who could have foreseen this? I'm really happy with the Chicago Bears offseason moves. We'll see if it actually matters. But right now I'm riding high. Cheering for the T-Wolves. Was very happy to see them send the Lakers packing. I think all three of us, Justin's not on the show today, but we're all rooting hard for the T-Wolves. So things are good for me. I know you're probably riding high with Minnesota sports. Well, at least the T-Wolves, maybe not the Twins, but.
T-Wolves, big time. I fell asleep in my son's bed at 8:15 on Wednesday night, woke up at midnight. I was so tired.
Been
I missed
there.
Game five.
Yeah.
I was like, if I look at that phone right now, I will be up for an hour. I just went directly to bed.
Yeah.
But yeah, they look, it's crazy. They're about eight deep. And they have a specific five that are metrically the best lineup in the NBA playoffs so far.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's
fun team to watch. Super fun team to watch. And
can't
wait to see if they can keep it rolling here.
I know one of your Cubs, actually two of them are doing phenomenally. I have Suzuki on my fantasy team, and he has been racking up some points for me.
Oh, wow. Here's a Minnesota sports connection for you. Did you know Pete Crow Armstrong's mom was the mom in Little Big League?
I did.
That is wild. It's insane. Jeez. Yeah, great movie. I loved that one when I was a kid.
Is he still tearing the ball up pretty well? I mean, he looked like I thought he is too. Okay.
Yeah, him and Tucker are just going to town. Like two MVP candidates on the same team basically right now. It's crazy. They're going to have to pay a lot of money, but they got to keep Tucker on this team somehow. He's been unreal.
Why wouldn't they? It's one of the three biggest markets in all of the United States. And you took them off of Houston. They've kind of slowly disbanded. I looked at it. I was like, okay, Kyle Tucker, Jordan Alvarez. I like you both equally. And then all of a sudden, Tucker just took off so far in April.
Well, the problem is the Cubs have never, despite being a big market team that basically prints money, they've never shelled out those huge mega deals. And he's going to get over $500 million. And he'll be a free agent at the end of the season. He's going to want to test free agency. Hopefully he's sold on playing in Wrigley Field. I don't know. I saw a report saying they're going to pay whatever it takes to keep him. So we'll see. We shall see.
You have to. I know they blew up Bryant Rizzo, that whole crew. What was it, 3-4 years after they won the World Series?
Yeah. I pretty much made the right call there. You know, like Bryant can't stay healthy. Rizzo's still decent, but not what he used to be. Baez is taken off again this year, though. He fell off for a while, but he's playing better this year. So I think they made the right call. Suck to see those guys go, but I like this new crop, and they've been super fun to watch. So
that's awesome.
I think I'll be taking my kids to their first game at Wrigley pretty soon. Maybe in the next few weeks, we're planning something. So stay tuned. I'll talk about it on the pod after we get
live back. Vicariously through you guys on that one. I love Wrigley Field in spite of the fact it's beaten down on the insides of the stadium.
Yeah, they've fixed it up a lot, though, in the last few years. Like, it looks pretty nice now, especially the exterior. They've done a lot of work. I haven't been there in a long time, though, so be fun to get back. We got plenty of pro wrestling to talk about, you guys. So WWE, AEW, we're going to hit it all. We haven't done a show since WrestleMania. I'm not going to lie. I was a little burned out on the wrestling there for a while. I mean, we did so much content WrestleMania weekend. We did two flagships here on Top Rope Nation. I was doing the BR shows. Jesse has been doing lots of unplugged episodes for our Patreon supporters. You guys can all check those out. So, you know, we took last week off. It's kind of busy for all of us, but we're back and we're going to start with WWE and then we'll hit kind of AEW's direction at the end. But of course, if you're here, guys, right now live, please support us by liking the video and subscribing to the channel. That would help us out a lot. You know, helps us in the YouTube algorithm, which has been getting harder and harder to rank in of late. I've seen a lot of creators on YouTube complaining about this. So anything you can do to help us out, subscribe for free to the channel, become a member if you want bonus content right here on the YouTube channel, or become a Patreon supporter. Link is in the broadcast description. You see the names of all of our great patrons scrolling across the bottom.
Tremendous folks, United States and United Kingdom. Let's go.
Absolutely. We always like doing these morning shows because our friends across the pond, which is like a quarter of our viewers, they can check in with us live, and this new time slot's working out well. So Jesse, I guess, you know, we can hit some of the releases really quick here. I mean, crappy news to start out, but I think that was the biggest story heading into this weekend. Then we're going to hit kind of creative since WrestleMania. But, you know, I can kind of read through the list of some of the names who have been released by WWE or whose contracts are not going to be renewed. So Dani Palmer is out. Sounds like she's leaving wrestling entirely. Shotzi, her contract is going to be expiring. She's not going to be re-signed. We had the following names released: Braun Strowman, Dakota Kai, Shayna Baszler, Katana Chance, Caden Carter, Gigi Dolan, Cora Jade, Eddie Thorpe, Jakara Jackson, Riley Osborne, Mark Coffey, Joe Coffey, Wolfgang, Ora Mensa, and Javier Bernal. Lots of names coming off of, you know, 2 weeks ago, WrestleMania, when WWE was doing everything they could to talk about how much money they made out in Las Vegas for the two-night WrestleMania, and then to release this many people. Jesse, your thoughts?
It's become token hat for them, sadly. We look back, and I remember seeing, what was it, 2021, so Samoa Joe has been released twice. Yet Nick Nemeth released in 2023. Bray Wyatt's been a casualty at some point in time. Yeah, they're just trying to trim that payroll in spite of record numbers in gate, in merchandise, all of it. And it's coming from the corporate sponsorships. You never want to see people leave. You never want to see people lose their job. I think now what we're looking at is an overabundance on not just the independent scene, but you're looking at an overabundance everywhere. So where do all these performers go? And then, on the other side of things, the WWE just created this ID program trying to not necessarily, I don't know if they're going to try to kill the independents, but they're trying to trim just a little bit more and give you less options. So what are they doing? They're almost just like talking back and forth with their hands saying, oh, well, we're releasing these people, but oh, we're going to acquire this. They've acquired AAA. So I think it's a matter of there weren't too many large names in there. And we saw Dakota Kai, I think Shayna Baszler being the two eye-opening ones. I know Dakota's been a little bit injured, but Shayna was kind of a surprise. She can go anywhere she wants to, and she's going to thrive. She's just that good in ring. I think that she'll be used much better. Mm-hmm. There is one thing I do want to mention, and I'm going to let you talk. I have been seeing a lot of this. In the last year, you've seen a lot of LGBTQ performers released from the WWE. Sonya Deville was let go as well. This was not that long ago. So that's kind of telling with a little bit of the political landscape that's been happening in World Wrestling Entertainment too.
Yeah, don't like to see that. Yeah, $40 million. So they made $40 million just on ticket sales at WrestleMania, let alone all of the merch and everything else happening out there. I mean, it's just a bad look. I know their roster, you know, for all the talk about AEW and their roster being bloated, this WWE roster is pretty bloated too. And, you know, they made the comments that they don't sign people just to sit them on the bench. I think it was Nick Khan said that. No, they do. They clearly do, because this is why this is happening. You know, there's people that they just don't use very often. I mean, the name that everyone always points to is like Natty Neidhart. They don't do anything with her, yet they re-signed her to, you know, they didn't want her going off to do the Owen tournament in AEW a couple of years ago. So they re-signed her. We saw, you know, she was awesome at Bloodsport during WrestleMania weekend. Everyone was talking about it, yet, you know, she can't really get on TV. So, I mean, they do have a huge roster. I realize you can't keep everyone around. I can't say that I was super shocked by any of these names. You know, Braun Strowman's a guy who got released previously. They brought him back. He's, you know, he's fine. He's been around for a long time. I'm sure he's made his money. You know, he put something out on social media. It didn't look like it was bothering him too much. He was about to go out on the ocean or something on his boat, and he was all smiles, you know. So I'm sure he doesn't have to work if he doesn't want to. He was very vocal last time. He didn't really want to work anywhere but WWE. So, you know, we'll see on him. But, you know, a lot of the women, like, I could see getting picked up TNA. Maybe AEW gives a couple of them a chance. You know, they don't want to sign too many of them probably right now. But, you know, this is why it's good to have viable alternatives. You know, this is why that we talked about on the WrestleMania show, them acquiring AAA, maybe not great long term, because they just keep acquiring these companies or making partnerships with companies. You want to have independent options. So, you know, for all of the people who cheer for a corporation rather than pro wrestling in general, and that does not describe us, we cheer for pro wrestlers and pro wrestling in general, to have an option out there like AEW, to have, you know, New Japan as an option, to have CMLL as an option, and so on. That's a very good thing for this talent. They'll get picked up. They'll have an opportunity to make monies on the indies if they want to keep working, you know. So, yeah, we'll see. A couple of the names like Cora Jade, people saw some big things for her in the future, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe even just within the last few months. You know, she's on the way out here. Dakota Kai was always somebody who felt maybe a little bit underutilized. Would not be surprised at all to see AEW give her a shot. So, yeah. You know, it sucks for these people, but the good thing is there's plenty of options out there right now, at least, to make money in pro wrestling. And I'm sure they'll have an opportunity to do that. And probably if they want to make their way back to WWE down the line, there'll be opportunities for some of them again.
So. You mentioned benching. Omos was in Noah in Japan for a while, was one of their tag team champions. He left, yeah, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, and he hasn't been seen on television. Where are the Wyatt Six? You can't find them with a searchlight. They were hot for like 3 weeks, and we haven't seen them ever since. So there's definitely some benching going on there in the WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was the report of they had to hold him off for a while because of the Uncle Howdy injury, and like, he's ready to go now. They're still not back on TV. Then they had the plans for Alexa. Nothing's happened there. I mean, with that, we had talked about when it all started that the debut was awesome. But like, how do you keep the momentum going with a character group such as that? It's really hard in this day and age for that supernatural stuff to work. Even somebody like, you know, when we actually had Bray Wyatt around, unfortunately, just a tragic death because he was such a creative guy, but even with his mind at the helm, he had a hard time, you know, keeping the momentum going with all the different iterations that he came up with, just because it's so challenging in today's world with all the content pushed out there, and you're asking fans to like suspend their, you know, their ability to think critically when you watch something like that, I guess, to put it lightly. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult with the supernatural stuff. We'll see when they bring him back, but right now it's been not great.
We've talked about it, how The Undertaker for two decades, we don't know how he did it. And you look back at some of it, it hasn't aged well, specifically between 1993 and 1990, end of 95. I think it wasn't that good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, it worked early because that was like the cartoony era of pro wrestling. And he is like the one guy who could get the fans to continue to suspend disbelief to, you know, buy in. But, you know, anybody else, it's been very short-lived when they do characters like that to get people to buy in long-term. So,
and not just with that, also, real quick, Alexa Bliss had the largest pop for any woman in the Royal Rumble. She was in the Elimination Chamber, and you haven't heard anything from her since. Like, you got to strike while the iron's hot, because now you bring her back, especially with Becky just coming back a few weeks ago. We'll talk about her, I'm sure, in a little bit. Yeah, it's just going to be really, really hard. And now there are NXT call-ups that are emerging on the roster, too.
Even with the injuries to Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy, you know, like, he could have been off. I thought the plan was that Alexa was going to be one of the leaders of the group. So she certainly could have carried that. She's got the popularity factor, no doubt, but they just kind of shelved the whole act. So I'm sure when they finally get brought back, that'll be to their benefit. They'll get a massive reaction again because they haven't been around. But then, you know, can you sustain it? That's going to be the question. We got Carl checking in from a pub in the UK right now. We are streaming in a pub in the UK, Jesse.
Yes.
How's that make you feel? Hell yeah. he says, still can't get Fiend out of my head. Yeah, no kidding. What a terrible song, by the way. Just awful. Niall Clark, patron of the show, also checking in. There's too many people on the roster. It sucks they lost their job, but this roster needs trimming massively. Yep, kind of similar thoughts here. Our own Maverick, the pilot of the skies, Frank Pettiani. Hello from Las Vegas. I had an Elvis beer last night, Ryan. I appreciate that. You know that I do. Absolutely. Carl saying, you know, Natty's working backstage somewhat. Yeah, absolutely. You'd like to see her on TV. I know she wants to be on TV, though. And she just hasn't been able to see TV. I think she showed that, you know, she is someone that can. I know there's a lot of people over the years negative on Natty. I've always thought Natty's a good worker. Her creatives often sucked. You know, but they wouldn't just, when you saw her come out on Bloodsport and just allow her to be herself, she could be a captivating character on TV. They just haven't allowed her to do that. You know, I remember back when they had that SummerSlam in Toronto and they were building her up for the match against Becky. And I was on the pod saying, have her win, because she was doing some like kind of wild stuff for her character building up to that. They were letting her kind of be more herself. And I remember her like running out from the crowd dressed in street clothes, attacking Becky and stuff. And she was actually getting a little bit of momentum at the time. That was the last time they really did anything with Becky or with Natty that was captivating.
Again, I think she's going to be held hostage backstage again because she used Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the name of it, Bloodsport.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Let's see. All right. Yeah. So we talked about the releases. Should we talk about what's on our thumbnail on YouTube for anyone checking in wondering, where's that Seth Rollins discussion? we haven't talked about this new faction, you know, since WrestleMania. We hadn't even talked about when Bron Breakker joined the group the following night. So I guess we can catch up here with Rollins and Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman and what they're doing with this new faction on Monday Night Raw. Obviously, on our WrestleMania show, Jesse, I was pretty high on it and talking about this is maybe the first time I've been interested in Rollins in a while. And that's coming from an Iowan who years ago was a big fan of Seth Rollins. But as listeners of this show know, I have not been real high on the cackling and the over-the-top character. So here, you know, I was kind of hoping maybe he'd go back to maybe the Architect era kind of style of Rollins, even change his theme song. We haven't seen that. Same theme song. Think he's supposed to be a heel, but he's still playing to the crowd a little bit, which is kind of odd to me. I mean, I'll let you talk. What have you thought so far of the faction the last 2 weeks?
I enjoy this group a lot. I think Braun's going to be a perfect Paul Heyman guy. Paul can speak for him. Just let Braun tear through people. Seth's had a little bit of a change in character, but you're right. There hasn't been much, and he hasn't acknowledged. So far, his character has felt he hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
He tried to call him out on it on Monday night, and that was kind of the basis of your story. So they were trying to recruit Sammy into the group, and unfortunately, he would not change his mind. So being an ethical hero in this aspect, and they tore right through him. Seth, in a way, has been, I wouldn't say a silent assassin per se, but at times he's been doing much better character work without using words, just kind of the looks and the mannerisms. Like when he called for the chair at WrestleMania, he was just staring at the Jumbotron. Just takes that arm. It's like, chair.
Great visual. Yeah.
Yeah. Say, it was the same thing on Monday night when everybody thought that he was going to call off the dogs, and he looks at Braun and he's just like, get him. Do it again. I think there is a problem that these crowds are cheering to have a face get speared one more time.
Yes.
So there needs to be something moving forward that's going to be making them look a little more dastardly. And I don't think that's going to be an issue, but there needs to be some separation and some blurred lines at some point in time. I don't know. Actually, let's throw it to you. Should this group expand?
Not right now. I don't think so. I know people were fantasy booking this over the last 2 weeks already. Who'd add to the group? Let's get five or six people in there. Maybe long term that will work, but right now I'd keep it a pretty small, tight group, which I as I understand is the plan. It is just going to be these three for right now, and I like that right now. I think you're right with Seth. The like what he's saying when he doesn't actually say anything, what he's saying with his body language has been really good when he kind of transforms into that. The promos, I'd like to see him change up his style a little bit because it's essentially what he was doing before. I would have liked to have seen him change the theme. I said this right after WrestleMania that it's just not going to work because the crowd's going to sing along to it. And if you want to be a heel, why would you do that? So I think they're in this like tweener phase right now, but you know, they booked him on Monday against Sami Zayn, who's supposed to be like the most sympathetic babyface in the company. And you're right. Like there's a problem with the WWE audience that they've cultivated right now where they cheer for moments more than getting emotionally invested in the characters. So like the heel face dynamic in WWE doesn't seem to matter at all, you know, like, because they'll cheer, like you said, one more time. Okay. That's not really what you want out of the audience, but like short social media clips. You know, the big moves, that's what people are popping for right now. So it's just a different industry than it used to be. You know, certainly in like the 90s or even in the early 2000s, if, you know, the group was acting like that and they were giving them the wrong response from the crowd, that would be more of a problem. It's been like that for a while. As a traditionalist, that kind of bothers me a little bit. It's awkward. Then you're going to have like the Punk stuff going on, and Punk's supposed to be a babyface, but like, both sides are probably going to be getting cheered a little bit. I personally would like to see him go a little more full on heel, but I understand that based on how they book now, it's probably not going to happen, right?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if it's going to happen. I talked about the amount of factions on my last episode of Unplugged and the depth of them. There's only one group that's over four people right now. You're not counting the Wyatt Six because they're inactive, and that's the Judgment Day. They're huge. Everybody else is just kind of, I don't know, yeah, either faces or they're heels that we don't necessarily care about.
Yeah.
So you can keep this as a duo and then just let them individually destroy whomever. And I think it's now we're just going to try to find out which faces are going to come after them. There's a plethora of them. You got Sammy. Punk somehow is still a face. We've been kind of calling for a heel turn. And then Roman. But Roman, my assumption is he's going to be taking time off until Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Speaking of Money in the Bank, Carl with the chat here. Saying Seth to win Money in the Bank, get the belt off Jay. The Raw after Money in the Bank, after Braun destroys him, is my expectation in the short term. Yeah, I mean, we talked about that too on the WrestleMania. Not that exact scenario in our WrestleMania post show, that pretty much got to put the title on Seth like pretty quickly to establish this group as dominant. So I could totally see that happening. I agree with Carl here. Frank, WWE needs their dog whistles. The song, people singing along, and Seth doing the visionary, revolutionary bit prevents them from being full-blown heels. Agreed. Which, by the way, I have not shouted this out. That's Seth Rollins' draft pick announcement in Green Bay. Not just saying this as a Bears fan, but that was probably the greatest draft pick announcement by a non-football person in the history of the NFL draft. That was incredible, the way he trolled the Green Bay crowd. When he started talking about Lambeau Field, I knew exactly where he was going. He was going to say, Caleb Williams is undefeated there. I just knew it was happening. Great stuff. Loved the banter with Packers fans.
Keep that going, Caleb.
Yeah. He could agree with that as a Vikings fan. Absolutely.
Another app for inventory, one for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo, one fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle. Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
So, yeah, you know, I'm fine on this right now. You know, I think Sammy makes sense if you're trying to establish some heat with them right away, at least, and, you know, until they get to the feud with Punk, you know. So direction wise, that's fine. You mentioned Jey Uso was mentioned in the chat. I wanted to talk about this. Jey Uso and Logan Paul. I know some people have been negative on that. I don't really mind that at all. I just think that you need something for Jey Uso to do. You know, he's a guy who's super famous on social media. That's what dictates everything these days. He's not going to beat him for the title. That's not going to happen. You know, so it gives Jay something to do in the interim. I mean, what are your thoughts on that being the direction?
It's a first title feud. I think what we've noticed with new champions is that their first title defense is normally it's a shoe-in that they're going to retain. We had Cody with AJ Styles last year. Seth Rollins, I think, got Finn Balor after he won the world title a couple of years ago. It's almost a gimme. Jey Uso himself was the gimme for Damian Priest last year. Mm-hmm. So you want to try to give Jey a little bit of momentum, and Logan's doing a pretty decent job of being a heel. I mean, the crowd hates him for multiple reasons. It's not just what he's doing in arenas, it's what he's doing outside of them too. So I think it's a good idea, and they're not going to be the full focus of the WWE Backlash card. So. Right. Yeah, so you have Logan Paul right now, and then the other major heel right now, who's maybe accidentally turning face, is going after a commentator.
Yeah, accidentally turning face. Great way to put that. When he choked out Pat McAfee, like, yes, does this mean I don't have to hear him on commentary for the next several weeks? But, you know, that one too, McAfee and Gunther, I mean, obviously not the best use of Gunther, but I don't imagine this stretching on. You know, it's just as a little stopgap thing to give Gunther something to do after losing the title. It's, I don't know, man. It's fine. I don't get too worked up about that kind of thing. It's The fans are going to, you've seen it. The fans are super into it. You know, I mentioned the social media aspect of this. McAfee has a huge audience on his show. He'll be talking about it. That brings eyeballs to the match. You know, we've seen top stars do these kinds of feuds before with like people who shouldn't be in the ring with them. I mean, look, Frank was mentioning 1995 WWF. We saw Bret Hart work in some feuds he should have never been doing in 1995 WWF. That was way more insulting to me than this is. You know, so
Backlund wasn't your cup of tea.
No, and I mean even Lawler yeah. 2 years earlier in 93, that was good when Lawler first came into the promotion. But like when he's doing the Kiss My Foot match against Jerry Lawler at King of the Ring 95. No, what a waste. And then Isaac Yankum at SummerSlam.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
We're talking some real, the real nadir of Bret Hart at WWF at that point in time. Like
Hakushi
that's
was
insulting.
A positive one.
Yeah, Hakushi, once again, the fall, that was good. But I mean, yeah, this, it's whatever, man. It's hard to get worked up because this is what WWE is these days. You know, Ryan Huffman, you know, he's one of our strongest supporters. I was talking to him about this the other day, and it's like, you know, WWE isn't so much a wrestling company anymore. It's more about the moments. You know, it's about the promos. It's about the characters, you know, and if you look at it from that perspective, it makes sense. And it's hard to get worked up about the direction, you know. Work rate promotion, that's AEW. And we have that for us who are really into that. WWE is just a whole different animal these days.
Somehow, some way, in Dave Meltzer's warped star ratings, I cannot believe this. WWE in the last 2 weeks has had 2 5-star matches.
Yeah.
Yet the women's, the triple threat, which was warranted. And then I talked about this on my show for about 2 minutes. The TLC match on SmackDown also got 5 stars. I liked it.
Oh, wow.
Not that much.
I guess I'm a more harsh grader than Dave these days. I put out star ratings for our patrons, and you know, I'm not saying my opinion matters all that much, but some of our patrons like to see the star ratings. I've been covering wrestling for over 20 years, and I grade it harder. You know, like, to me, a 5-star match has to be damn near perfect. You know, I did give the Tony Mariah match 5 stars, which to me is because it was the capitalization of an all-time great feud. One of the best feuds any promotion's done in the last decade, easily. And, you know, the match didn't overstay its welcome. What was it, like 12, 13 minutes? It was like what it should have been. It was perfect. A perfect match with the perfect story. I mean, I just can't go that far on a TLC match on SmackDown that will probably be forgotten, you know? The women's match, yeah, I think I went 4.5 on that. You know, I was really high. For me, 4.5, that is... It's an all-time great match. It absolutely was. That was the best match of WrestleMania 41. No question about it. And that was my highest graded match on the show.
Zero arguments there. Yeah, you could argue going 1/4 star higher. Just a shade short of 5, because I don't really think the story was that great is one thing, too. Chris, in the comments, I am also very concerned that is going to happen to Gunther. I have a small concern, too.
I am catching up on the chat. We got an active chat here, which is always great to see. Goldberg. Yeah.
I'm a little worried.
Goldberg, Gunther being the direction at SummerSlam. I mean, Hunter said, you know, like, he's got the agreement with Goldberg to have a retirement match for whoever wants it, which ain't us, but some people, I guess, want to see that. Whatever. He's been training for it for months now to have another match. And, you know, if it happens, I hope Gunther destroys him in like 2 minutes.
Oh, that would be lovely. He's arguably your best in-ring worker. And yeah, you're going to throw him in there with a guy who's notoriously injured people as well throughout the course of his career, which I did see a comment earlier about kind of Bron Breakker and Goldberg. There are some similarities there. Yeah, I think so. I am slightly concerned that spear of his is going to injure someone at some point. It just looks nasty, which is, it's phenomenal visuals, but you just got to wonder how much punishment that person is actually taking. To case in point, Carlito, after Braun just sped like the Roadrunner right down the aisle and just nailed him, and his feet just went flying over his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. He's a spectacle, man. Like, he's not obviously as tall as Goldberg, but he's built really well. He runs super fast. He's got a great presence about him. I like putting him with Seth because it elevates his profile 100%. By the way, I didn't even mention this too. I got a chance to check out Seth Rollins' coffee shop last weekend. I was down in Davenport. It's right next to the Black and Brave Academy that Seth runs with Merrick Brave, which, by the way, if you haven't been listening to the show for many years, I interviewed Merrick Brave on here a few years ago. It's a good listen. Check it out in the archives. And he talks about his history with Seth on the indies and, you know, Tyler Black at the time and how they started the wrestling school and everything. But yeah, I was down there for a dance competition, and we were just a few blocks from the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy and the coffee shop. So I checked it out, and it was really good. I brought my wife some of the coffee back to the dance event. She thought it was some of the best coffee she's had in a long time too. So if you get to Davenport, 392 Cafe, right next to the wrestling school, highly recommended.
Wrestling and coffee kind of go hand in hand. You have Prince Nana on the other side. Claudio's been associated with it for a decade at least. And with caffeine and kilos, I know was a big one too. So yeah, just keep it up. High quality coffee, you can never ever get sick of it.
Yeah. Frank talking about Bret Hart as the referee. So I can kick him in the head. My God. This chat is getting out of control on this.
Would
Sunday
Bret
morning.
Do it?
Yeah. All right. Let's just briefly hit on the rest of the Backlash card as it stands. I mean, next weekend, Mother's Day weekend. What's WWE and their scheduling these days? That's my biggest complaint with WWE. Easter weekend for WrestleMania, you know, never even considered traveling out to that one because I got young kids. I'm not going to Vegas on WrestleMania weekend. And then next weekend, St. Louis, which, you know, Justin and I went to Dynasty down there last year. St. Louis is a doable drive for me. My kids brought up they'd kind of like to go to Backlash. I'm like, well, not at those ticket prices. Maybe if the secondary comes down. But then I remember, no, it's Mother's Day weekend. We're not going to St. Louis for Backlash. You know, Mother's Day the next day. So
Megan won't give the approval.
Probably not, unless I could think of something to do for, I mean, it's Saturday. So unless I could think of something down there to do on Sunday that she wanted to do, but, you know, highly, highly doubt it, you know? So that's my biggest complaint is Mother's Day weekend. Come on, do it the following weekend. But this card, you know, for what it is. All right. John Cena and Randy Orton. Let's hit it. You mentioned exactly how many TV matches they've had on Unplugged the other day on our Patreon side. 17, I believe. Yeah. I put out on our Blue Sky account a week ago or so. I was like, yeah, this match probably hits super hard if you miss the a million other times these guys have wrestled on television, which has been a lot in pay-per-views, too. They had like an Iron Man match in the fall of 2009.
Do you remember that one?
Vaguely. I remember people being high on it. I was not. I was not high on it. I think it has it's got a 7 or 8 rating on Cage Match. I looked it up the other day when I was doing a PR show and I brought it up.
That popped out of my head when my eyes popped out. I was like, they did an Iron Man match? How bad or mediocre was that? And
it was okay. They had a Last Man Standing match too, right around that same time, I believe.
I remember that
one. That one was decent. You know, they had the SummerSlam match, which is, was it 07? That's probably their best pay-per-view match. But I never thought their matches were much to write home about. And that was almost 20 years ago. So, you know, we saw Cena work in WrestleMania, and I certainly ranted about that one on our post show. It was not a great match. I mean, you know, Cena looks a lot slower these days. And, you know, Orton, he's fine, but like, I hope they don't work 20, 30 minutes. I don't think anyone needs that. You know, where are you at on this match?
17 being the maximum. I don't know. This is going to be very slow, and they're going to just try to psychologically pull the crowd in, which in St. Louis and Horton's hometown, I don't think that'll be an issue. For nostalgia's purposes, this is likely the last time you will see John Cena and Randy Orton together in a one-on-one confrontation. So that part will be fine. I mean, this would be from a closing chapter perspective, but they're in their mid-40s. I did admit that it's similar to Flair and Hogan maybe in 1999 in WCW.
Yeah, 100%.
Kind of scary.
Chris checking in the chat. He's from St. Louis. You're going to be at the show, Chris. Let us know. He says, does Randy get to punt John Cena? I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. What do you think?
Likely not. I think it was coming at WrestleMania if Kevin Owens hadn't gotten injured.
Yeah.
Would have been fun to see, but I just can't see that with this short of a build, in spite of the fact they have a lot of history.
Yeah, probably not. And like I can't remember if it was Bleacher Report or us, but this was the obvious direction, like right after WrestleMania, you know, Backlash being in St. Louis. They're going to do Orton Cena. You know, here we are. Orton does have a chance of winning the title, but they're running it back. It's like one of those nostalgia trips for old fans and people who missed it the first time around, you know? So Cena made his Raw debut in St. Louis. Yeah, that was the draft, right? Wasn't it?
We covered the Vegas pay-per-view event Vengeance that happened 3 weeks after this. So Cena had just made his way over to Raw, and he wrestled Christian and Chris Jericho in a triple threat in Vegas. Yeah.
And this is the common theme. I can't afford to go. Chris, I mean, I'm right there with you. They just had SmackDown in Des Moines Friday night. And I looked at going with a couple of my kids. And it was going to cost like $400 to sit in the upper deck. I'm like, nope. I'll be skipping that for SmackDown. So we did not go. And, you know, years ago, I would have never, ever missed WWE when they come to town. But I was not going to pay that. You know, I probably could have got a media ticket, but I didn't want to go by myself. So
round two, Timberwolves home tickets for season ticket holders are probably going for half that in the lower level.
Wow.
For season ticket holders. I mean, on the secondary market, it's probably a little bit beyond, I think.
Yeah.
I think where you're
but
at.
Still.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I mean, jeez.
Okay.
Cena and Orton's three-star spectacular.
Yeah.
Frank.
That's one of the greatest names I have ever seen in the chat.
El Grande Britincano. Gracias, bro. Now, these characters on this YouTube.com, they're getting better as time goes on, I got to say.
That's incredible.
I wonder if that is somebody we know and they just made a new account.
It has to be. I mean, maybe we could call out in the archives. Is that Chad Repack?
Has Chad Repack returned? Has he returned? You know, speaking of Chad Repack, I have been getting more and more text messages from one Kyle Ross of late. I'm wondering if he is tuning in to pro wrestling again. Very interesting.
I got to reach out to him very, very soon about a special unplugged appearance in September. ECW's cool. Gangsta's Paradise.
Yeah. Carl is saying the tickets for the Paris show were not as high as he was expecting, but Forbidden Door was higher than expected. Are Forbidden Door higher than WWE, though? I'd be shocked if that is the case. Doubtful. Highly doubtful. Like, not in the States, they're not even close. I was actually looking at the Dynamite for Chicago here in a week and a half, which isn't too far of a drive. And those are very, very affordable. So, all right. We're going to wrap up. We're going to go to AEW here in just a sec. The only other thing we haven't talked about, we got the Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. title with Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre. I don't really have any deep thoughts on that one.
Jacob has to retain.
Yeah. That's whatever. But Lyra Valkyria and Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. I like the booking of this with Becky turning heel and coming back and saying, you know, she's the one who attacked Bayley and, you know, immediately turning on her fellow countrywoman here with Lyra Valkyria. It just elevates her profile immediately to be working with somebody the stature of Becky. So, you know, I have liked everything about this, quite honestly. I think it's been well done.
We agree. I think Lyra, I mean, they worked together in NXT. I think Lyra was the one who caught the torch from Becky, got the NXT title after she took it from Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they have really good chemistry in the ring together. I can't stop laughing at this guy at all.
This guy in her chat. Thank you. The people that are on the podcast feed are probably, or they're like, what is going on right now? We're reacting to this guy in our chat. Frank is boycotting WWE events for a while. He's looking to go to Raw after Mania in Vegas. Upper Deck would have been like $150. Yep, that sounds about right.
It's rough. Rough sledding out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that's WWE. Let's shift focus in our remaining time to AEW. We've got more direction now for Double or Nothing coming up at the end of the month. We've got a cage match with Moxley and Samoa Joe happening here in a week and a half on Dynamite at the aforementioned show in Chicago. AEW, pretty much everything for the most part they're doing right now, I've been behind. The MJF stuff with Hurt Business has been, or Hurt Syndicate has been entertaining. I said it when it started that I didn't want to see him join just because Hurt Syndicate is so over organically with the crowd. And him bringing the heel work to the group is counterproductive, I feel. But, you know, they've dragged this on where, you know, Lashley is the guy who is the one holdout. And you got MJF insulting him and basically Lashley telling him that if he wants to join the group, he's got to start hurting people. I mean, ultimately, maybe he joins the group briefly, but then it leads to a Lashley MJF match down the line. So I think that that's fine. Where have you been at with the MJF Hurt Syndicate stuff?
Entertaining. It hasn't been as egregious as Cole and MJF at all. I mean, and these characters are a little bit different, which I think is good. Lashley himself, yeah, I think I was actually concerned from a Dynamite perspective that MJF was going to hurt Hangman Page on Wednesday night and interfere in that match with Fletcher, costing him it. We see that at Double or Nothing, and that's when he becomes a member of the Hurt Syndicate or something along those lines, because their series right now, I think, is, well, Hangman was the one who took the W. So no, it's entertaining. It's serving a purpose right now. There's an end to it, maybe in a few months, and the Hurt Syndicate are now tag champs and the tag division's looking a little better. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it gives MJF something to do with acts that are important on the card. You know, I know we had kind of complained about when he came back, he just wasn't really doing anything that was appealing, MJF. And it was like, where do you slot this guy in? He's probably not going to be in the world title picture anytime soon. So, you know, how do you keep him relevant and on TV and continuing to come across as a star? And I think this just gives him something to do, you know, rather than working with Jeff Jarrett. You know, this is much better than that. So, you know, I don't know. It's fine. But I think the direction for Double or Nothing and ultimately All in Texas with this Ospreay and Adam Hangman Page matches, I can't wait to see this match. These guys have never wrestled each other, which is incredible. Correct. You know, so I think this was the right direction. You know, I was really hyped to see which direction they would go on Dynamite with Fletcher or Hangman. But I think this is the correct direction. And I think it's going to be, you know, as we get closer to Double or Nothing, it's going to be quite the conversation we can have on the show is which direction should they go? Because I think there's a really good argument either way for Ospreay to be the guy facing Moxley. And we would assume maybe winning the title at All In, you know, or Hangman Page. We've sold both of them as two guys that should be world champion within the next calendar year. And I mean, Ospreay going back further than that. Ospreay, we've said so many times, is a guy you can build AEW around. It's one of the most over guys in the promotion. Hangman has probably the most interesting character arc of anybody in AEW. And I said months ago that he should be the guy to unseat Moxley on this show. I might have been late last year I was talking about that, because he is the guy who has built himself back up. He's been one of those consistent founding fathers of AEW all throughout. I think if you look at Jon Moxley as the guy who's supposedly taken AEW hostage, then Hangman is the guy who makes the most sense from the redemption angle as the guy that saves the company, just everything, you know, his character has gone through. So I could see either of those guys taking the title, and either one would be a fine choice, but that's going to make the match itself so intriguing, because I have no idea who's going to win that match.
The best male character in AEW versus the best wrestler in AEW. Both are faces at the moment, in spite of the fact that Hangman continues to come out of the heel tunnel, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could go 51-49, and Ryan, you've been saying this since November.
Yeah.
And Hangman should win this.
Long time.
I think you could go either direction. And I think one way or another, one of them ultimately has to take it from Moxley at All In. It would be a huge moment. The crowd is going to absolutely explode. And I think either one of them are going to sell some more tickets, because we think could be the culmination of Moxley finally losing that championship. Because there are some spare parts that are coming loose right now with the Death Riders losing the Trios championships. Samoa Joe has now been consistently choking out Moxley on a weekly basis to maybe put like a slight bit of doubt into Wednesday night's outcome, which I don't think there will be. But yeah, I think fans really want this. So go either direction. And this is coming from the biggest Will Ospreay mark that most people know. Yeah. I'm okay with either one.
Yeah, I mean, I was really big on, I felt Ospreay should be the guy to end Bryan's run, you know, before that happened with Moxley, just because they could have run back the Dynasty match. It was so awesome. And, you know, had Bryan pass the baton to this next generation star. When that didn't happen, then I started to get on the especially as Hangman, you know, was coming off the awesome feud with Swerve, and, you know, just his character was so interesting. And I felt like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense logically that he might be the guy to unseat him. Now, we got Carl making the point in the chat. He says, AEW's first 4 months of 2025 have been strong. I worry about some of the pieces being put in place, namely linking Swerve to more elite soap opera drama. Also not convinced Mox is losing in Texas. Boy, I hope you don't keep that title past Texas. I mean, it's not a certainty.
No, it's not.
You know, you would think that they would want to do a title change in a stadium show. The tickets for that, I saw an update on WrestleTix this morning, by the way, like 14,000 tickets sold. They got to get over 20. So hopefully when the card is announced fully, they start really moving some more tickets. I've talked to so many people who are like maybe interested in road tripping to that, but they're waiting to see what the card is because it's a long drive or flight, you know. And I think once the card comes into place, they'll get over 20,000 in there. But when you got a big crowd like that, I think they'll want the visual of a title change, you know, like we've seen at All In the past over at Wembley. But, you know, it's definitely, to Carl's point, it's not a certainty. Swerve, I mean, he appears destined, and this was a talking point you wanted to get into, Jesse, appears destined for anarchy in the arena at Double or Nothing. How do you feel about that?
Before we get to that, though, I think the odds of Ospreay headlining Forbidden Door as your AEW World Heavyweight Champion in Europe looks really appealing.
True.
I think you have arena. To pull the trigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big arena.
Ooh, Anarchy Arena has wore out its welcome. I kind of understand if they want to do it, but I mean, we don't need to use this as a trope every single year. The first one by far was the best iteration. I believe you were in the arena for that, correct?
I was, yes.
Eddie Kingston in the gas can.
All-time moment. Yep.
Yes. That's that one of my three favorite moments in AEW history.
Wild Thing playing nonstop like it was a bar fight out there. Just awesome. Yeah.
Don't fall into the WWE trope of having to do something because it's just that time of year. It's that event. So I can understand doing a Death Riders Young Bucks versus Swerve Omega and the Ops in a 5-on-5. I just think you can better serve all of those acts a little bit differently as opposed to doing something that's been done three times before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of becoming the thing now associated with that show. It's like, all right, Double or Nothing time. Got to do Anarchy in the Arena. I mean, if they could make it as good as 2022, I'd be all behind it, but you know, my expectations are much lower as it's gone on. So yeah, it's weird because Double or Nothing was always one of those signature shows for AEW. And this year really feels like a stopgap show, you know, just to get to All In with the timing of that one in early July, just a month and a half later. So it doesn't feel as, I don't know if prestigious is the right word, but it doesn't feel like such a big show this year. And also moving out of Vegas, you know, to the Phoenix area changes the whole theming of it a little bit too. I really wanted to go to Vegas, and I was considering going to Double or Nothing this year just to have an excuse to go to Vegas. But when they moved it to Phoenix, like, yeah, I really want to go to Phoenix at the beginning of summer.
I think I would have went with you.
To Vegas? Yeah.
I think so. I don't have my son that weekend.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That will one thing maybe about next year. Maybe next year.
Yeah, for sure. 23 and 24 have been completely underwhelming. Last year's card ran way too long. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there is a concern that it's not in, I mean, it is considered one of their core four or core five, yet they need to do something to make it special. And I think they have with Ospreay and Hangman being in the mix here. Now it's just a matter of where you go. You don't want Anarchy in the Arena. That's why I kind of wanted Moxley, Samoa Joe to headline. I think that would have been a nice touch, but doing it in Chicago is fine. We talked about having AEW World Championship matches on television, maybe even a title change, but I don't think I want that in a week.
Yeah, Frank says it's idiotic for a casino themed show to be moved out of Las Vegas. I mean, I agree, unless you're going to do it in another casino town like Atlantic City, which we pitched on the show, like run Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. It's a venue with a lot of history. They've run there before. Ran a Dynamite there at one point in time. You know, they could have done that, and they could have kept the gambling theme, and Atlantic City would have been fun to visit too. But Phoenix, I mean, they've made it into like this old West kind of theme with the logo and everything this year. I don't know. It's not the same, but I think they've made it work. But I agree. Vegas is the better site. And, you know, they just didn't want to run it there so close to WrestleMania, you know, trying to sell tickets. And we saw that in the reverse back in 2022 when AEW was the hot promotion, because they had T-Mobile Center for a packed house for Double or Nothing 2022. I was there, as you said. And then they had Money in the Bank at Allegiant Stadium like a month and a half later, maybe not even that. I can't remember what the time on it was. And WWE actually had to move the show to the MGM because they didn't sell enough tickets to Allegiant Stadium right after AEW had run Double or Nothing there. So now we saw this year the reverse, where now the demand's more on the WWE side, and AEW looked at that calendar and like, be tough probably to sell that this year. So they're going to move it out of Vegas this year. Hopefully next year it does return, though.
This would be a very good long-term conversation question. We can do it on a different episode. Like, when does attendance start to rise in AEW? Because it does for pay-per-views. It does fine. But when are we going to start to see a little bit more demand in their on their Dynamite and Collision shows?
I mean, they certainly have made the tickets a little more affordable. I don't know if it's because I'm looking at them last minute and the tickets have dropped, maybe. But I mean, when you compare it to WWE, it's easier to rationalize buying those tickets. I'll say that. And I personally feel, as a wrestling fan, like, I've gone to both promotions in recent years. AEW shows just give you more bang for the buck if you're into the matches, certainly. WWE is a lot of talking, a lot of standing around. AEW is just nonstop. It's almost exhausting going to their shows. But like right now, I would rather spend money on an AEW show. And obviously the general public hasn't felt that way. Although I think some of the numbers have been better. You know, they're running the smaller venues, which I think is a smart decision, but they're getting like, I don't know, around 3,000 lately. It seems like for a lot of the TVs, but you're right. I mean, the pay-per-views are doing pretty well. I haven't checked. I'll look right now where they're at for Double or Nothing.
I mean, they've ranged from 6 to about, they had 11 or 12,000 in Los Angeles for Revolution.
Yeah, that was a legit sellout, I believe. I think they sold out the former Staples Center for that. Double or Nothing in the Phoenix area. Most recent update from WrestleTix was 3 days ago. They have it set up for 6,500 and they're at 5,300 right now. I mean, they got a little like 3 weeks to go. They'll fill that up for sure and probably open up some more seats. Cause I remember Revolution closed really strong. They didn't have the full thing opened up and then they opened it up more and they got all those tickets moved. So yeah, I think they'll get this one close to at least full for their setup, you know? And then we'll see what happens with All In, as we said. Speaking of All In, the women's title scene. So we know the Owens finals is going to be Jamie Hayter and Mercedes Moné, and the winner taking on Toni Storm at All In. You have any thoughts on who should win or who will win that one, Jesse?
I'm the only one saying this. I'm riding the contrarian horse. I think Jamie Hayter is going to win at Double or Nothing.
Oh, wow.
The biggest reason is I just think they've been kind of telegraphing Athena and Mercedes at All In. Mm-hmm. That's my only reason. Is it a little weird that Jamie Hayter would be the first woman to defeat Mercedes in a match? I think it would be because she's not quite as hot as she was 2-3 years ago. And hopefully they do their job the next couple of weeks to promote it and make her a bigger deal, which in a sense they have. But crowd responses aren't anywhere near where they were 2-3 years ago. But they are telegraphing it a bit with Mercedes coming out in promos and looking at Toni Storm saying, I'm coming to collect that title. And I think that obviously Toni and Mercedes is a very marquee match that you can serve at All In. That would make more sense. I'm still going to stick with Jamie.
I think what you said makes a lot of sense. We've talked about this on the show, how Athena, you know, being from the Dallas area, doing a lot of the media work for this show, you want to have her in a big match on this show. I think some of it's going to depend on how they feel about the ticket sales and where the trajectory of that's going to be headed. You know, we see in the chat, someone mentioned Okada and Omega is rumored. Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that since Omega came back and they had the face-off with the All In banner behind them. That seemed very, very purposeful. They were setting that one up long term. And that's going to draw in a lot of interest. Certainly whoever Ospreay and Hangman, whoever wins here, is going to draw in interest as well. But on the women's side, yeah, that Tony Mercedes match is the biggest match you can do right now in this promotion by far. So if they think it's going to move tickets and they're worried about getting 20, 25,000 in that arena or that stadium, I could see him pulling the trigger on it. Otherwise, that's one you keep in your back pocket, you know, to do down the line. And then you do Mercedes and Athena, you know, giving the hometown gal and Athena a big time match at that show. I think that that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, Tony and Jamie would be a phenomenal match. So I that's, again, I think they've set up the tournament finals perfectly because there is intrigue. It doesn't seem like it's, you know, you can conclude right away who is going to win either on the men's or the women's side. So, I mean, speaking of Double or Nothing, that's going to be a, that's going to be a really intriguing show to watch from that perspective.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. And with, yeah, like you just said, Mercedes, and she could be the one to unseat Toni Storm for the AEW world title later down the line. Mm-hmm. You could pull it easy, especially if Mercedes loses to Jamie here, then goes on to lose to Athena at All In. Then Mercedes can kind of find herself, and there is going to be so easy to have Mercedes and Tony headline, let's say, Revolution next year.
Yeah.
Mercedes takes it there, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, to the points here in the chat, like with Frank and Carl, it's going to depend on how can you structure that to happen to protect, yeah, because a Mercedes loss is a big chip to spend, like Frank said. So with her being a heel, you know, it's kind of, you'd almost have to do a heelish thing with Jamie winning. Like, you know, how do you do something with Athena? Do they build up in the weeks ahead where Athena could get involved in the match somehow to cost Mercedes the match? I don't think you can have Jamie just clean beat Mercedes Moné right now.
I agree.
Just based on where she's at on the card. So it would have to involve some shenanigans for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing Carl here. Chris saying Orton versus Cena has happened twice in St. Louis. February 2nd, 2009 Raw, and then at a house show in 2014. Interesting.
Their last match was in 2017 on SmackDown singles. They've been in a million tag matches on house shows and also on TV.
Let's see, Jesse, anything else you wanted to hit on today's show before we take it home?
Let's see, AEW wise, we hit everything there. I think the only thing I did want to touch on, and I'm kind of laughing internally, is Rusev and Aleister Black going back to the WWE. And you're seeing the vast majority of the mainstays of the AEW original Collision roster of 2023 in the WWE now. I think all that would need to be carried over there is Powerhouse Hobbs, and I kind of like him where he is, so he can stay.
Yeah, no, I hope Hobbs stays. Yeah, I mean, like, I thought Aleister's return, like, the presentation was super cool. I was glad they gave him his old theme, which is, in recent years, one of the best themes they've had. But then, like, I know you talked about this on Unplugged, that I mentioned this on our Blue Sky account, I think it was. But like when he got to the ring, he did the token like looking side to side thing at the crowd, and they hardly reacted at all. And I was thinking like, yeah, you know, he never really was a big star on the main roster. You know, he was a big deal in NXT, and that was so many years ago that like he just didn't get the superstar response like I think they were expecting. The crowd popped for the entrance because it's a cool entrance. You know, he had a competitive match against The Miz, and I saw this defended in one review I read of SmackDown where they're like, well, you know, The Miz is a former world champion. Like, dude, that was almost 15 years ago. He's been a joke on TV for how many years now? The last time The Miz was a real player is when they were doing the back and forth with Bryan before Bryan came out of retirement in like 2017. It was 8 years ago, you know, like if you want this guy to come across like a superstar, he should have destroyed The Miz.
Easily. And,
you know, Rusev being back, I think both these guys are going to settle in essentially right where they were in AEW on the card. Now they're in a promotion that's hotter right now, so they'll have bigger crowds and, you know, whatever. That accounts for something for performers for sure. But in the end, like neither of them are going to be world title level. They're going to be right where they were the last time they were in WWE and where they were in AEW. So I don't think anything about their return shifts the trajectory of their careers too much. I mean, we're even seeing, you know, Penta has already settled down the card since he came in. And we were very complimentary when he came in. They handled his debut awesome out there in California at the, you know, where was it? Sacramento,
I want to say. It was, yep.
And like now he's, whatever, he's involved in the IC title picture and awesome steam. And I'm sure with Rey Fénix, you know, that's going to be the case here too. So I don't think that any of those acts have really raised their stock so much as far as like moving up the card, but I'm sure they're getting paid well and they're in sold out arenas. So they're happy about that.
Yeah, that's about all they really have from a calling card perspective. And they're even going, Rusev's kind of doing the Redeemer gimmick in WWE on Raw. And Frank, you stole it from me. I was totally going to say that. I'm going to do it now anyway. There are families that went very hungry on Thanksgiving of 2023 because from what I was told, the Gunther versus Miz match at Survivor Series was going to feed them.
Yes. Remember that.
Didn't end up that great, did it?
No. Oh. Wasn't that a line on Unplugged?
Oh, it was. They said yeah. It was supposed to feed families for generations.
That was one of
the was good.
Of the week or whatever that you would go through.
It was one of Miz's best matches that he's had in years. But I mean, like I said, there were families that went hungry on Thanksgiving that year. Not good.
Not good. All right. So what do we have planned? Well, Backlash next weekend. I'm probably not doing a podcast on Mother's Day as long, you know, I do want to stay married. So that's not going to happen. We might have to stay up late Saturday night. So I think that's probably the plan. I'll be doing a Bleacher Report watch along. And then immediately after Jeremy Lawson and myself on BR get done, Jesse and I probably, I don't know about Justin, but definitely Jesse and I, we will jump on and do a Saturday night Backlash review. So that's the next time there'll be a flagship. We do have a Classics coming on Backlash 2000 for our Patreon supporters. That is one that we got to schedule and figure out when we're going to be doing that. That will be recording midweek, but for the flagship, we're going to continue for now doing these weekend shows, likely weekend mornings, except for Saturday night after Backlash. So things are on the horizon. Jesse has been dropping lots of Unplugged episodes for our patrons. If you could see side by side, and this is something I'm going to have to like Photoshop to show the fans on the stream sometime. If you could see what our podcast feed looks like on the Patreon RSS feed versus your regular podcast RSS feed, you're getting like more than double the content on Patreon. So I would recommend you guys, if you want to hear more from us, you want to hear Jesse's awesome show, TRN Unplugged, you want to hear TRN Classics, we got almost 200 bonus shows behind the paywall. You can get a 7-day free trial. Treat yourself. Sign up for 7 days. You get full access. There's nothing hidden. You can see it all for free for 7 days on Patreon. And if you like it, stick around. $5 a month. It's basically like you buy us a beer once a month and you get all the bonus content. We got merch drawings. We got to get back to doing the virtual hangouts that we were doing last year with the 100%. Patrons. That was fun. We'll probably be bringing those back over the summer when we have a little bit more free time. But certainly that's where a lot of our audio is dropping these days. We'll always do the weekly flagship. But if you want more, you know, we try to give you your money's worth on the Patreon side. You know, sign up for the free trial. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy what we are doing over there. Yeah, Carl's shouting it out. He says, loves the Unplugged shows from Jesse.
Absolutely. Thank you. So if, this is a humongous if, I don't have too much to drink tomorrow night, because it is Cinco de Mayo after all, I'm going to try to get another Unplugged in this coming Thursday, I think. That is only if we don't do Classics, which is also a possibility. So I actually might take this week off, because I need to get into the next ECW Arena show. That's another big thing. Covering ECW 1995, I have been enjoying the living hell out of it. Just a lot of fun to see something different. And it's really starting to get interesting now that there's been a shift in the hierarchy at the top and people are starting to defect and people are starting to come in. So you can relive Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, their finest independent promotion at the time, Extreme Championship Wrestling, with me and all of us.
Yeah, the 95 watch along has been great as you've been going through the year. And the chat is popping about that too. John Hope, love the Unplugged pods. Frank Pediani saying, especially with the 1995 ECW content, I'm learning a lot. Same here. Jesse's been doing a great job with that. So deep dive on those. Get your free trial. You can scan this QR code on the screen if you're watching us right now, or just click the link in the description, either on the podcast or here on the YouTube channel. We also got merch. Link is in the description. The mugs that Jesse and I have been drinking from. He's got a TRN Unplugged mug right there. I got the standard flagship mug right here. We got t-shirts, just we got hats, all kinds of ways to support the pod. You can scan that QR code right there on the screen and pick up some of our merch as well. Patrons have an exclusive discount code that never expires where they get 20% off our merch all the time. So if you join the Patreon page, search the posts for the merchandise post and you'll see that code that you can use all the time. So just another reason to check out what we're doing over there. Jesse, great way to spend a Sunday morning with you, as always, sir.
Wouldn't want it any other way. Actually, I would, because we're missing Justin Joint and his tremendous takes. Justin, we miss you. We'll see you on Classics very soon.
Yes, Justin will be back very soon, as will we. So, guys, hey, enjoy what's left of your weekend. We're getting down to the wire. Sunday, I got some more dance recitals to attend this afternoon, so I'm going to settle in for that. Tyler just picked up two shirts. I did see that, and I was going to thank you. I was going to send you a message for that, but Tyler picked up two new TRN shirts recently. Appreciate your support. Join Tyler. Lots of great merch over there. I mean, new designs. I think they're on Comfort Colors t-shirts now, which are kind of like a trendy t-shirt brand right now. So it's a little bit different if you haven't bought one of our shirts in the last year or so. The merch is a little bit different. I think it's been an upgrade in quality. So you guys can join Tyler and get a TRN t-shirt. All right, guys.
New and old faces in the chat. Thank you. Chris St. Louis, shout out to you and your Midwestern roots as well. Hopefully you come back.
Yes, yes. Subscribe. Hope to see you back. And we'll be back next Saturday night, immediately after a WWE Backlash. We'll see all of you then. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And take care, everybody. See you next time.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.